Our speaker, Kathy D, will now share her experience for 15 minutes on step three. Thank you so much, Kathy, for coming today and tonight. It's all yours. Oh, do you need a, do you want Thomas to warn you of any time on the 15 minute?
I think I'll keep my time. I'll stop at 10:30 my time, which is in 15 minutes.
Sounds good.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Kathy, and I am an addict and chaos creator and striving to trudge the road of recovery, just like all of you. And very thankful to be here this morning. I apologize for background noise. We have a plumbing issue at the house, which is no good. But anyway. Okay, so I've been going through step three, and I was reading it with a group of friends yesterday. And you know how when you read the book for the whatever 1,000th time, and like words just jump off the page? That's kind of what happened. And it's just really where God has me right now, is solidly in the third step. And so I thought I would share that. And to me, like the third step, turning my will, which is my thoughts and my life, my actions, over to the care of God, to the care. I'm kind of also just seeing that word for the first time, like, oh my gosh, God is my care. God teaches me how to do self-care. And it relates a lot to step 10, right? Because in step 10, we continue to turn. And just a little bit of background about sort of catching up with getting current of where I've been. So I've been around the rooms a long time. Sally spoke yesterday, and she and I are about neck and neck, almost 40 years for me. And God has removed from me like a lot. I mean, he gave me a life back in my 20s and 30s. I had my like first spiritual awakening, and my life healed up, and I became responsible, and you know, no more like a chronic debtor, sex and love addict, and overeater. All that healed up, and got married, had kids, and all my dreams came true. So what happens when an addict's dreams come true, and she's not you know, no longer doing the things that made her life that way? Well, I got into trouble. I got into a very long relapse, and I took back, like, my pattern has been, you know, suffering, 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 turn my will over, life gets better, and take back my will, right? That third option for some of us who are studying that. I never quit going to meetings. I never quit working program, but I was holding on so tightly to the things in my life that were working. And I was holding on so tightly, you know, thinking that if I didn't, everything would fall apart. And so, and horrific tragedies happened to people around me, and I was living a lot in fear, mainly around my kids, not wanting anything bad to happen to them. And anyhow, fast forward to a few years ago after COVID, where I got pretty sick in my food addiction and my chaos creating, very sick, very sick. My daughter was struggling, and I was doing everything I could, backflips to try and make it better for her. And just miserable, miserable. And so I got into Big Book Awakening, and I did actually, even though I was, you know, hard into the food, I did the chaos creating workshop first. That's where God wanted me. That's where I was doing the most damage. And I had an experience in it. And you know, you guys have seen me around the rooms, and I've been doing the work pretty rigorously ever since. But What happened is after I did two or three workshops, life got good again. And I didn't think I was doing this, but I was, in fact, taking back my will and compartmentalizing God. You know, it's like, okay, God. I mean, the thinking blows my mind that comes back so swiftly into this addict's mind. Like, I would think, okay, I've done a workshop today. I've helped a couple people through the work. I'm good. Now I'm going to go out and do my thing. And I wasn't even really like saying that, but that's how I was operating in the world. So recently I've had to go through a period of suffering again. And this time I'm finally, in three decades, understanding what it means to really be all in with God, not bits and pieces of my day, but all in. And this is a new concept for me. I think I got this way, way back in my 20s because the chaos creating wound me up in a psych hospital. And I had to quit fighting completely in order to get well. And I had to completely surrender to the steps and my sponsor's direction. And, you know, I got it back then. And I rode that high for a long time, that high of that initial sort of spiritual awakening. But now I'm really seeing the necessity, if I'm going to have any kind of lasting peace in my life on a day-to-day basis, I must be all in. So yesterday we were reading How It Works, and I have it on 25. I must have heard something good on page 25. So I'm on page 58, and this is what I got yesterday. So there are so many words that I wrote at the top. Six times we are asked to give it our all on page 58. So it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who is thoroughly, there's the first word, thoroughly, right? That means all in, followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely, there's another all in word, give themselves to the simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. I'm going to skip down to the second paragraph. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, another reminder, all in, I have to be all in, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, there it is again, all the earnestness, all in. At our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough. You know, all in again. I need to be all in from the very start. So that means right now, from the very start, means right now, when I'm going to be doing this third step, it means I am really turning my whole will and my whole life over to God, right? Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result was nil. The result was nil, nothing, until we let go absolutely. There it is again. I'm all in. Moving over to 59. Remember that we deal with addiction in this meeting. We're talking about chaos creating, or my Al-Anonism, or my fixing and controlling, or for me, huge, my adrenaline addiction, huge, huge issue. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Here it is again. Half measures avail us nothing. We stood at the turning point. Here it is again. We asked his protection and care. With complete abandon, all in, holding nothing back. And then we go through the steps, and we see what our prescription is, right? we've had a lot of preparation up to this point. We've gone through our first step. We've taken a long, long time to see that my life run on my will can hardly be a success. Maybe some people, it can be a success. I don't know. For me, I am a sick enough addict where my life run on my will lasts for about a day. And then I get back into the profound suffering again. You may have heard me on meetings say, I wish I could be a normal addict, because I do see people come into the rooms and it seems like they do the steps, they get well, and like they can just go back to their other life sort of, and it works. And Bill even talked about this. Bill talked about, I think he said like 10% of people come in and they do the work and they are able to sort of go back to what they were doing before, but also have program, right? Not so with me, everything has to change. I'm one of those, like, yeah, I can't hold on to my self-will in any area. Oh, this is fun. Okay. Last night in my nightly review, I was reading and it occurred to me, like, all the things I do when I'm in self-will, where I actually kind of like, I'm going to call it, I go back to the bar. I am a recovered alcoholic too, but I go back to the bar, right? Looking for something. Even if I'm not drinking, I go to the bar. And then I was like, well, what is the bar? What is the bar for me? And I identified all these things that are literally, it's like going to the bar. Okay. It's like shopping. For me, caffeine is really bad. That's going to the bar because it will keep me awake at night and then I feel miserable. Late on my phone, being late on my phone, these are all chaos creating things for me. Very bad for me. Binge watching a series, very bad for me. Even I'm having to even say now, and this is my own chaos creating list, really, right? It's going to the bar for me, chaos creating. Even watching TV alone, I really can't handle that without getting into trouble. It's eating certain foods and justifying it by saying things like, well, at least I'm not binging now. You know, no. Bad. Going to the bar, that's really bad for me. This is a pretty big one. And I see my time. I have about three more minutes. 2 years ago, in a cloud of chaos creating, I insisted that we buy a property that's about 40 miles from my home. Because there were chickens and I always wanted to raise chickens and we run Airbnb. So bought the property. So for 2 years, my husband didn't want it. He didn't want it. So that's another thing on my chaos creating list, forcing something to happen that my husband, who's my partner, who's part of this marriage, you know, forcing something he doesn't want. Right. So we've been doing this property and honestly, it has been, parts of it were fun. Parts of it were, I had fun, but it's been an uphill battle and we finally sold it. And the selling process, we just closed on it a couple of days ago. The selling process was horrific. It was as if God was showing me, okay, sweetheart, I want you to get this because I don't want you to have to go through this again. You know, and so every step of the way was an uphill battle. And sometimes God's like that with me. You know, when I really need to get something, I'm shown it very directly, like painfully, right? And so I got to see, wow, when I create chaos, it's no joke. It's a big, big deal. Since I'm almost done, I wanted to share something amazing. So I just shared with you like what it is to be all in. The book tells us it would have to be all in. And there's so many other pages where it's like, the language is like this, be all in, right? So yesterday I was feeling pretty low pretty low. And I remembered that my decision was to turn to God in all things. So I was sitting in the grocery store parking lot and I said, okay, God, I'm just going to turn to you because I just feel crappy. I feel like hell. So I pulled out my phone and I started doing some two-way prayer, and which, by the way, has saved my life. I'm going to really put out there that if you haven't done two-way prayer, it's amazing. So I pulled my phone out. I'm like, just laying it all out, right? Help me. I need help. I'm miserable. This. Show me what to do. And like my depression was deep. And about 30 seconds later, a friend texted me from program and she's like, hey, I'm getting on the dance meeting. Come on. And so there's a meeting where a gal literally like dances the whole meeting. It's amazing. And I got on the meeting and you guys, I was in my car dancing. And within 10 minutes, I had a smile on my face that could not be taken away. It was all God. This stuff works. I know that's kind of a light example, or might even seem silly, but for me, it was profound because once again, like I need to be reminded on a daily basis, when I turn to God in my third step, surrender, ask for help, God always meets me, always, not sometimes, every single time. Sometimes I need to cry, sometimes I need to make a call, but sometimes God brings me a dance party, like right then. So I see my time is up. I'm real happy to be here. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. And that's all I have for today. Thank you.